What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner here for another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. I'm here live on Spotify Green Room with my co-pilot, Michael Brown. Mike, tonight's game, it happened. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, sir. It was ugly. There was definitely some bright spots, but overall, it was an ugly performance by the Rockets.
It's tough to really, analyze this when this isn't really the team that's going to be, there for majority of the season. I mean, this team is just very different than Jalen Green. Maybe this says more – tonight said more about Jalen Green than anybody and how good he's going to be at the next level.
Yeah, he's a special player, man. You look at this roster and you see just how impactful he was the first two games that he played. He raises the level of the guys around him dramatically. Running the offense through Sengun, which they should have done more tonight. They did it somewhat, but not enough, in my opinion. I'm not going to get upset about a performance in a summer league game because it's silly. But the offensive philosophy, now that Jalen Green is gone, it's just all over the place. Josh Christopher is not there yet to run an offense. I thought it would be hard to find a guy that I liked less than Marcus Foster, and I found one in Waters. So that's kind of special about tonight.
Yeah, well, Tremont Waters, I think, was necessary to get him, get someone at least that would run the offense. And, he ran it, just ran it into the ground. But
right.
At least they had somebody there. The turnovers were an issue tonight. 23 total, 7 from Josh Christopher, 5 from Tremont Waters. I mean, Josh Christopher, though, shot, okay from the field, 7 of 19. You could see better. But a team high 22 for him, a game high 22 from him. You also had 13 and 10 from Sengun, who, was he the best player for the Rockets tonight? He kind of wins that by default.
Yeah, Josh Christopher was good tonight. But this is now the second time that I have noticed this. His jump shot needs a lot of work. It's not a pretty jump shot. I like his game overall, but he has got to do some serious work in the gym. Do you notice nearly every single time he shoots a jump shot, it's short. Every single time.
Yeah, he's got to utilize his arc a little bit more, I think. Yeah. And though that's exactly what summer league's for, though. It's right. To take these opportunities and get its stuff, out of your system before the actual season starts, and to really be able to sharpen your tools. Because I think I guarantee you, Josh Christopher is going to look at this film. We'll see, because the Rockets could play as early as tomorrow, so there's not a whole lot of turnaround to that. But he can take the film from this past week, and then when he sees the floor again, which probably isn't until maybe, I guess, preseason, so 2 months from now, we're going to hopefully see a dramatic difference from what we saw this week versus what we'll see in preseason. But at the same time, too, preseason is you're upping the level of talent again. So there's that to keep in mind. Christopher, at this point, just like all of the draft picks, are projects. And you have to be able to fine-tune them to get them to exactly what you need within your team. And Jalen Green is the most NBA-ready out of the four, I'd say. And Josh Christopher is the least NBA-ready out of the four. So that, to me, is not totally surprising.
Yeah, I think Garuba is number two. I want to talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, because we got to see a little bit more of him tonight. 17 minutes with 8 rebounds, 4 points from him. And he got a little bit more rest. So two extra days of sleep and practicing and getting more acclimated with the team, I think, definitely helped. He definitely looked a lot better tonight than he did in the previous game.
Tonight was the blueprint of what he's going to be in the NBA, which I loved. Because I don't know what your thoughts are on him long term, that he's never going to be an offensive powerhouse. Like, people who are going to say, well, I can't wait till he develops a jump shot. Very unlikely at this point that he will do that, which is fine. There's no problem with that. Like, if I were to tell you in the regular season, if he gave you 17 minutes of hard-nosed defense, 8 rebounds and a couple buckets, you're going to tell me you wouldn't take that for your power forward off the bench? Because I take that every single day of the week.
Yeah.
But and he's only going to get better defensively, I feel like. Offensively, it's extremely limited. He's also the 23rd overall pick in the draft. This is not a guy that you are going to look at and say, I think he's going to be a superstar. I think his ceiling, I said it on the night of the draft, is his ceiling to me as an NBA player is all-team NBA defense. Like, yeah. He will make, I feel like, before his career is over, at least one first-team all-NBA defense. He's hopefully that he legit. Yeah, he's that legit. So I actually really liked what I saw from him tonight. He shot, what, 2 of 6 from the field?
2 of 6 rebounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 steals. He had 2 assists. He had a block. He only had 1 turnover. And he only fouled twice. With as hard as he plays defensively to only foul twice, he's solid. I loved what I saw from him tonight. I don't understand Matt Hurt only getting 7 minutes tonight. Not sure what that was about, but I digress.
Yeah, I mean, if Matt Hurt, you already have him as your two-way guy, it does bring in the question, you know, how much the team really invests in him if they're playing Justin Anderson 19 minutes ahead of him, if they're playing Anthony Lamb 26 minutes ahead of him. That's another person we should probably discuss before the night is done, is Anthony Lamb. Because, look, he had probably he had the best game that we've seen as a Rocket in Game 2 when they played Detroit on Tuesday. Then he followed that up with possibly the worst showing that we've seen from him on Thursday. And then he comes into tonight and he makes 5 of his first 6 threes. And he ends up with 17 points off the bench. Very inconsistent, but tonight was one of those nights that showed why Anthony Lamb came to Houston in the first place.
Yeah, man, I'm on the fence with Anthony Lamb. Like, I like how hard he plays, but he's the same size as KJ Martin. And if you ask me, like, it's such a conundrum with me, man.
Because he's the same size as KJ Martin. He doesn't play like it, and that's what matters.
Well, no, but Anthony Lamb is listed at 6'6". And KJ Martin is listed at 6. They're 6. They're both 6'6".
They're two very different athletes.
I don't disagree with you, but it brings into question, and this is the question I had at the end of the season, is you need to load this roster with as much talent as possible. Period. End of story. Yeah. Go positionless. I don't care. Anthony Lamb, I don't know if he's NBA talent. Like, I think he can play, and if he's going to make a roster and get minutes, it's going to be with a team like the Rockets. But I feel like if we're giving him minutes over somebody else, I almost feel like they're wasted minutes, because I feel like by the time the Rockets are good again, which is sooner rather than later, Anthony Lamb will not be a part of that roster.
No, I don't think he will be either.
So that's why I look at it now and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to give him minutes over KJ Martin. I'm not giving him minutes over Garuba. I'm not going to give him minutes over Josh Christopher is questionable. Like, I would probably want to give Lamb some minutes over Christopher, but that's a temporary thing. Like, Josh Christopher is going to get minutes much sooner rather than later. So that's why I look at a guy like Anthony Lamb, and I'm like, yeah, he had a good game tonight. I mean, he did it against just an awful Orlando team. Wagner's fine. Cole Anthony's a nice player, but on Anthony Lamb, he's okay.
I'm
not going to jump up and down about it.
I think they're trying to figure out what they want to do with him, because he does have the qualifying offer given out to him. So that's a reason to keep him. They have invested more into him than they have with some other guys that are currently on the roster. And I do think that he is kind of auditioning for that final roster spot. And, you know, he's to me, he's too inconsistent to be able to you know, succeed at the NBA level. I do think he needs another year in the G League, possibly, maybe a little bit more of a, like, maybe just more G League seasoning. Because, you know, keep in mind, like, the G League that was this past year was such a limited season. They only got, like, 15 games. You know, this year they're going to play probably twice as that, hopefully, given COVID and all of that. Anthony Lamb is probably someone that needs a little bit more G League, but at the same time, you look at him, and he went to college for 4 years. He's 23 years old. He'll be 24 in about 4 months' time. And there are a lot of guys that can do what he can do that are a lot younger than him and that, unfortunately, just are probably a little bit more consistent than him. He's a quad A player. It's like baseball. Like, he's not good enough. He's good enough to ball out in AAA, but he's not good enough to cut it in the majors. And, you know, that's unfortunate because he's worked his whole life to get to this point, and just to be like, to sniff it and to get there, he'll always be able to say he played in the NBA, but will he be able to say that he like fully succeeded in the NBA? I don't know.
So when you say that he's fighting for the last roster spot, so who would you say that battle is against?
Well, I think the last roster spot, meaning that either that second two-way deal, or maybe someone just totally blows it out of the water and they decide, you know, if they want to move on from Kyrie Thomas or if they want to move on from Daniel House, that they open up a spot for him on the main roster. I think that competition, Kyrie Thomas is in it, but I don't think that he has done enough to lose his job, especially considering he got injured in the middle of summer league. And then Armani Brooks, who played for the first time tonight, and he didn't do enough, in my opinion, to warrant moving Thomas off the roster or to really clinch that second two-way spot. So it's between those guys, but also it's not just between those guys. It's between all of the other people at Summer League.
Yeah, man.
The Rockets don't necessarily have to go in-house with this spot. Chances are they'll probably look elsewhere for that second two-way spot. There's a lot of guys that are here in the summer league that are playing really well. Rockets probably have scouts on all of these games just to see all these people. And if they find someone that they feel is, you know, worth taking a shot on, they should go for it. And to be honest, I don't think Anthony Lamb nor Armani Brooks will make the team. I do believe that the Rockets will go elsewhere to fill that final roster spot, because I think that they know what they have in Brooks and Lamb, and I think that they aren't going to really get much more out of those two guys. Rather take someone who's a little bit younger and has the opportunity to really develop even further and to, you know, has a little bit more boom than bust potential. Because that's the thing is, you need a guy that has like boom bust potential as your final guy, as a G League guy. And I think Armani Brooks is a lot more boom bust than Anthony Lamb is. I think Anthony Lamb's appeal is the fact that he is a bit more defensive minded, I think, than most of these people. And that's ultimately the reason why the Rockets, you know, picked up on him in the G League and then ultimately bringing him up to the main roster. But at this point, I just think that I would go elsewhere. I would see what else is out there. You never know what else is out there unless you go out and seek it yourself. And then, you know, later down the line, if these guys are still available, which I would presume that they are, then you may have a chance to open the door back up again at a later time.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for where I would go with that roster spot. Like, not necessarily just the player, but what am I looking for when you say boom or bust? Do you want a big man project in that spot? I don't think so, because I think when you're talking about Sengun, I think Sengun is that guy for you. Like, I don't feel like you need another big project, you know, a big man project, if you will.
You know what they need, Mike? You know what they need? They need a more consistent Anthony Lamb.
Yeah, and look, that guy might be Kyrie Thomas.
But like, Kyrie Thomas is already on the roster. They have another.
Right. Like, I agree with you. You know, I agree. I think you go more. I think they need another. Yeah, dude. Like a guy who's like 6'4 to 6'7, you know, in that range. I would like to see a guy. Look, Anthony Lamb can shoot. You know, like he's got streaks, but he's not consistent enough, like you said.
Look, he went 5 for 6 and then 0 for 5 the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's tough. He tries hard defensively. But I agree with you. There's a lot of talent in this league, man. Like, there's going to be talent that gets dropped. That's where I would go with the roster spot. I don't have a specific guy in mind, but I would much rather go the latter rather than bring Anthony Lamb back. I think bringing Anthony Lamb back, you're not taking a step forward, and that's a problem. Every decision they make needs to say we are looking, yes, at now, but more into the future. And Anthony Lamb will not be a part of the future of this team when they're going to be good again. Right, exactly. And which, I think is much closer than people think. People will also listen to this, and if you'd like to tweet me at BSWPodcast_MB, they'll say, well, you guys are talking about a guy, you know, the 15th guy on the roster. Yes, understandably so. And is it important? Not really, to be honest with you, but you know, you need to maximize every roster spot.
At the same time, I think I want to look back and see every team that's either been to the finals or won a championship and see how many of those teams had someone that was at one point the 15th guy that actually contributes to this team. If I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, like, Bryn Forbes was a key contributor to that team down the stretch and in the postseason. And he played a big role for them in the playoffs. And he was, at one point, you know, undrafted, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went undrafted in 2016. So, like, and look, he eventually moved up the ranks. Now, I mean, this person doesn't necessarily have to be a guy that was the 15th guy on the roster at one point, but like even Giannis's younger brother, Tanasis played 57 games for them this season and 13 in the playoffs. They brought him in for some stretches there, like key stretches in some of those games in the latter half of that playoff run. So I think that you look at like a guy like Cam Payne, who was at one point the last guy on the roster. I know he wasn't, you know, selected at that point in the draft. I think he was a lottery pick, but he was out of the league at one point. And so, like, you can go out and get a guy like that, like a guy that just had a real bad fit in his first NBA stint, and then, you know, just needs a change of scenery, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a guy that can really be a contributor for you.
It's a great point. And yeah, the more we talk about it, no. Listen. I'm having a really good day. I don't need you to bring up that piece
of garbage. Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, you're making good points here, man. And I just think that they need somebody with a higher ceiling is ultimately what it comes down to. I think Stone knows that. And we see what happens. But like,
Quinn Cook up to?
Probably not a lot. Probably gravy training somewhere is the end of the bench guy. Probably in the Lakers or Brooklyn.
I mean, like, Quinn Cook, I know he's not, like, you know, God's gift to earth, but he's got to be better than Anthony Lamb.
That's not saying – you're not setting the bar extremely high on that
but
one.
Yeah, but the thing is, the bar isn't that high. The bar isn't
But Quinn Cook is old. Like, he's too old for what we're looking for.
I don't necessarily think that.
What is Quinn Cook? Quinn Cook's, I'm going to guess he's probably 27.
Could honestly, he's 28. Maybe they could use another veteran.
But you had that already, though. Like, if you're going to go get Quinn Cook, you already have DJ Augustine. You already have Daniel House. You already have Eric Gordon. Although Daniel House is probably not the veteran leadership that we need to look for first. But, you know, that's a different story for a different day. But you still have – people forget about DJ Augustine. Like, all these people that are talking about the guard play of this team, like, DJ Augustine, I think, is going to play legit minutes and is going to be a great leader for this team this year.
Yeah, because they're going to try to flip DJ Augustine at the deadline.
If he plays
well enough, I do think he could be a deadline flip.
Well, the idea of flipping John Wall took a massive hit today with the trade between the Clippers and the Grizzlies, which, what the heck are the Clippers doing?
Clippers besides, are saving money. That's
well, look, yeah. They're they saved $30 million, and they created an an $8.4 million trade.
Let me just say this. Steve Ballmer needed that. Like they were over. They saved about $30 million in the luxury tax by doing that.
Yeah, and they're probably going to end up cutting Bledsoe.
I don't think they're going to cut Bledsoe. I think he's there to start because I think they were looking for an upgrade at the guard at the point guard position, and I think that they probably looked at Houston's. They probably looked at Houston's roster at least once or twice. I'd be shocked if they didn't even like consider the idea of adding John Wall or consider the idea of adding Eric Gordon, because I do think that that trade package, Beverly, Rondo, and Aturu, is probably what the Rockets would have asked for in a potential Eric Gordon trade, or you know maybe even a John Wall trade and a throw in a Patrick Patterson or something. So I think that definitely decreases the chances of Wall and Gordon being moved. I didn't think it was that high to begin with, but you know another thing too, I think a lot of people are going to point the finger at Steve Ballmer and say like you know cheapskate, and no. It's similar to what he's. Look, Mike, the team didn't necessarily get that much better, if at all, and he saved $30 million. People are going to point at Steve Ballmer and say, you did this. We did this for you. How dare you not look at the team first?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. If the Rockets would have gotten that trade package, though, that would have been fascinating, that we would probably be the first team in NBA history to play 5 point guards at once. Because, at that point, you'd have on the roster KPJ, Jalen Green, Patrick Beverly, Rajon Rondo.
Rondo would have been waived, and he'll right. probably. I doubt he sees the. I doubt even steps into the building in Memphis.
Yeah, I wonder what the Clippers are going to do, because the Clippers last year, I think you and I are on the same page. If the Clippers weren't banged up with Leonard, they beat Phoenix, and in my opinion, they probably win the NBA Finals. I think they would have beat. I think they would have beaten Milwaukee.
Without the Kawhi, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
They had everything. They had everything on their side. They would have been able to play with.
But at the same time, Mike, like before Kawhi went down, they were down 0-2 to the Jazz.
Yeah. No. Look, I get it, man. I totally get it. But the way they played against Phoenix, like they would have actually played. They would have matched up really well with Milwaukee. I feel like.
Yeah.
Like you would have been able to put George and Kawhi on Giannis. I don't feel like Jrue Holiday would have been as effective as he was. You know, but at the same time, like they weren't healthy, and now they go back to the drawing board. I'm not in love with what the Clippers have done this offseason, but they still retain Kawhi, and that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. That was number one, and they can do whatever after that. But yeah. At the same time, I mean,
I still think they're better than the Lakers, flat out.
Yeah, better than the Lakers. Well, I'm not there yet, but no, the point I was going to make here is. You look at Ballmer and all of that, but Tillich Retita did something today and is going to be doing something over the next 4 years that should at least quiet his critics a little bit more. And he agreed to pay the buyout for Usman Garuba. He is the Rockets are contributing to that on top of the salary that they're paying him.
Yeah. So, I saw that.
So the fact that they're doing that is another thing. But the thing is, I'm sure that was going to be a thing before the draft. You're like, hey, if we take this guy, we have to sign his buyout. Are you comfortable, Tillman, for doing that? And he wouldn't, you know, the Rockets, I don't think, would have drafted Garuba if that wouldn't have happened. But also at the same time, it's not like a whole lot of money, but I mean, it's money that you don't necessarily have to spend if you go out and you get, you know, like a Miles McBride or someone that is stateside. But, like, they got Garuba because Garuba was the fifth of the team. And even though he cost a little bit extra, the Rockets still went out and got him. So I think, to me, it was important. Like that, I just wanted to let that be known. And to give Tillman a little bit of credit. Not I'm not saying go and, you know, be Team Tillman again. Or, you know, go be Team Tillman for the first time. Sure. But it's just something I wanted to point out. But I think I think we're about done here. There's not much else left to say, I don't think. We don't have any speaker requests, so I don't feel like we need to really beat anything.
The one thing,
anything else?
Yeah, I want to respond to that real quick though, because you and I had heated conversations about the way I felt about Tillman.
The one thing we one thing the two of us can't agree on.
I do. I give him credit though. I give him credit because this offseason, he has shown, whether it's him or whether it's him giving the power over to Rafael Stone, whoever's managing this roster right now is doing it very well. And they spent money this offseason, which A, I wanted them to do, and B, they spent it wisely, like re-signing David Nwaba to the contract that they did. Do I think Nwaba is here for the full 3 years? No. I think at that number, if he shows that he's any type of the same player that he was last year, you can flip him to a playoff team in 5 seconds. Like a $5 million contract is nothing. And you could potentially turn that into, do I think it's a first round pick? No. But I think you could get a young player, in return that fits more of your win in a couple years now mode. Great signing. You needed a big man. You went out and got Daniel Theis. I like Daniel Theis. I'm excited for Daniel Theis.
Me too. Again,
$9 million a year for a guy that does what he does. He does the dirty work in a league that you now need a big man to compete at a high level. Could very easily flip into a playoff team that loses their big man for the year, as an example. Like, very tradable contract. But both guys also are good for the locker room. So I give credit to Tillman Fertitta. And do I forgive him for the Harden deal? No, I don't. But I'm a lot more accepting of it now than I was.
You've come a long way.
I appreciate proud that. Of I'm you. Hey, man, I'm trying. I'm proud trying of my you. Very hardest. You know what, man? Look, I'm excited. I'm excited for training camp. I'm stoked. I'm ready for games to start.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so am I, which is why, training camp is just the absolute worst. I hate training camp. Month of the year is, Mike? I'll give you one guess.
August is the worst.
August is the worst month.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Preseason football is the worst tease ever. It's like that commercial with the with Dollar Bill, the State Farm commercial, where it's like, "Hey, I know you want it. Oh, you gotta try a little harder." It's like, I know it's there. I know it's coming, but it's still like everyone's like, "Oh, it's football season." Like, yeah, but no, we still have 4 weeks until actual games start. So don't tease me with that. And the same thing with basketball. Everyone's gonna be like, "Oh, training camp's in a month from now," and but the games really don't start until mid October, and we still really don't know when the schedule is gonna come out 100%. So, I mean, we could still be waiting another 2 months for the season. I do think that the season will start on time, but the players and the union are gonna have to decide. The governors are gonna have to decide which route to go. So it'll be interesting. But as we pull into the station here, it's time for everybody's favorite segment here on the Dream Take. And Michael Brown, it is time to close out the show with your mic drop. 1 minute of absolutely unfiltered, your thoughts, not mine, and no pushback from me. So your minute starts now.
Watching the Rockets game tonight and having to listen to Isaiah Thomas do color commentating for even a summer league game nearly made my ears bleed. And I want to take this minute to express just how infuriating it is that these media companies hire these individuals to talk about basketball when they very clearly know absolutely nothing about any of the players on the court. It's extremely lazy. They hire them just because they have a name. I thought the most compelling thing that I listened to tonight was Kenyon Martin talk. If I was the Houston Rockets, the summary of what I would like to talk about tonight during the mic drop is hire Kenyon Martin. I don't care that he has a kid on the team. Listening to that man talk basketball, I would listen to that every single minute of the day because he actually is passionate about what he's talking about, and he's not some senseless drone like Isaiah Thomas or Reggie Miller. And it's a shame on NBA TV that they put that type of dreck out there for diehard basketball fans, like nearly every person that listens to this show, listen to. It's an abomination. It's ridiculous, and I'm tired of it. So I end this mic drop with saying it's still disgusting if you put mayonnaise on your sandwich, and hashtag hire Kenyon Martin ASAP.
You heard the man, and I think that's a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. Go ahead, throw us a follow if you're over at twitter.com. You can research or search, put that in the search bar, at The Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. Or you can head to our website, www.thedreamshake.com. Of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com, and we'll be back sometime this week for another episode. We might do some town hall stuff. We might, you know, come out of left field and do some other stuff as well. But we are still kicking it in this off season, like we have been for the first half, and during the second half of the off season, we're going to give you nothing different. So be sure to always tune in to us. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast. And you can also go ahead and follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!